Zos chukas haTorah. This is the decree of the Torah. So our parsha famously begins. Other places when we discuss other halachas, other dinim, like Korban Pesach and Shmos, says Zos chukas haPesach. It doesn't say Zos chukas haTorah and then launch into the dinim of Pesach. But here, before we launch into the dinim of Baraduma, the red heifer, not the steakhouse, we say Zos chukas haTorah. That seems to give a mashmaos. It seems the Torah is indicating to us that there's a general message here about how we approach Torah bichlal, not just a specific idea that relates to Paraduma. Zos chukas haTorah. Zos vod in pasuk yudalid. As we continue the parsha, one of the most famous psukim that's brought in terms of how to approach Torah, how we deal with Torah. Adam ki yamas ba'ol, a person when he dies in the ol, which literally means when a person dies in his area, what the tumas hakelim, the impurification of the vessels that are in the ol. But Chazal famously says, Adam ki yamas ba'ol ein divrei Torah miskayim. The words of Torah are not set, aren't established, don't become real to a person. Elam kein meimis hatzba Allah, unless he's willing to kill himself for that. The Shire Ephraim, who was a gon olam, megone adoris, was also a very big businessman. He took this literally. He said to his wife, when I'm learning and some of my business associates come to ask you where I am, you should tell them that I'm dead. Tell them, where is your husband? Tell them I'm dead. Don't bother me if I'm dead. Sarbosa, we're not going to talk about death further. And we're not going to go specifically into the messages of why it is that, what's a general message of Torah to Paraduma to Torah. We'll talk about that a little bit on Shabbos. Anyone who wants to look in Drash Moshe, beautiful Pshatim. But I want to deal with another question based on that basic assumption, i.e. that our parsha is indicating to us how to approach Torah. And what Torah is, Zos chukas haTorah, is something central to Torah. So here's my question. Lama nismecha, with that in mind, Parshas Korach and Parshas Chukas, Parshas Korach and Shlach l'chukas. If this is the Torah, what does that have to tell us? Why do we begin this with dealing with Korach? I'd like to tell you a short maisa, a short happening that happened in Shanghai. I've told many of you this before. Beautiful story. Shanghai was an interesting place in the war. First, it was a Makom Miflat, as a place of rescue and salvation for the Great Mir Yeshiva. The only yeshiva which was saved as a group was there. But it wasn't just the Mir Yeshiva that was saved. There were many refugees that made it to Shanghai together. And you had a certain influx, which wouldn't always happen between different Jewish groups. And there was a great Hasidic Rebbe, my guess, but I don't know, I didn't hear that. But there's a Rebbe, maybe it was the Amshnaver, I know it was in Shanghai, who turned to one of the Talmidim of the Mir Yeshiva, the great Reb Leibachs. Leibachs was the Rosh Yeshiva in Detroit. His son-in-law lives in Harnof. He's a real person, David Offen. And they say Leibachs was so big you could do the pin trick. You could point at a certain place in the Gemara, anywhere, at the top of the page, and he could tell you what was at that point of the page through the whole Shas. That was Reb Leibachs. Anyway, Reb Leibachs then was a young bacher in Shanghai, Talmud of the Mir Yeshiva, and he met this Hasidic Rebbe. And in 1936, we're now around 1942, 6 or 7 years before, the great Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the iconic Mashkiach, spiritual leader of the Mir Yeshiva, had passed away. And Rabbi Yerucham was an amazing figure in the whole Jewish world. And this Rebbe, of course, had heard about him, and he said, you know, I hear so much about Rabbi Yerucham. I've heard so many times how amazing he was. Tell me a Dvar Torah from Rabbi Yerucham. This older Rebbe turned to Reb Leibachs. And Reb Leibachs launched into a story, into Dvar Torah that he had heard from Rabbi Yerucham about the negative traits of a person, how a person has negative parts to himself, and his parts to him that could hurt himself and hurt others, etc. And he had a whole amazing binyan, an amazing way of explaining it, etc. And the Rebbe was very impressed. But the Rebbe said like this, you know, it's interesting. You and your Yerucham approach the Torah in a different way. Me with my Hasidim, you know what I try to do? If you imagine life like a building, a 20-story building, I take them up to the 20th floor. You know, from the 20th floor, you got clear horizons. You see great things. When you deal with people on level 2, if you look out from the first floor, those of you who live in the first floor, relate to this. You know what you see? You see a lot of times the garbage cans, you know? You see the garbage. These new garbages, these old garbages. I'm a Roman people. I take them to another level. Right? And you're speaking, it's amazing. The different Torah are amazing, but you're looking at man on a low level. You're looking at his bad midas, his negative characteristics. Be more positive, be higher, be more Roman. And Reb Leibach was an emissary person, he was an honest person, and it bothered him, and he was wondering, you know, why in the world did Rabbi Yerucham always speak like that? Why is that how the Bali Musa speak? Why is that how they spoke in yeshivas? And he turned to the Mashkiach, who took over for Rabbi Yerucham, of the famed Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, who afterwards was the Mashkiach in the Pandavid Yeshiva, and he asked him this question. I had this encounter with this Rebbe, and he said this to me, what's the answer? So Rav Chatzkel said, 5 words. Tell him about Sasson's house. Tell him about Sasson's house. Go back to the Rebbe and tell him about Sasson's house. Okay. What was Sasson's house, my friends? Sasson was a wealthy Jewish person in Shanghai. And as wealthy people like to do sometimes, they don't like the crowding of the city. So they go to live where? Ramat Golan Street, Sheshet HaYamim, Midbar Sinai, right? You go out to the suburbs. You go out bigger. And that's what Mr. Sasson did, this Jewish philanthropist. He went and he made himself a huge house in the suburbs of Shanghai. There's this place called Shanghai and has suburbs. There's one problem. He built his mansion on a landfill. You know what a landfill is? Landfill is a place that is empty. You fill it with a lot of garbage. You stuff it in. You know, stuff it in really tight and packed. And then you cover it with a lot of dirt. And you can walk on it. And theoretically, you can build on it. But they built the Sasson mansion on top. And eventually, the Sasson house, like a haunted house, when I was younger, you had a haunted house that the water slips out. It was great to do sponge in, right? But if you slip, you're in big trouble. The house started to cave and it moved. It was slipping. And that was Rav Chatzkel's answer. Meaning, for sure, it's great to talk on the high level. But if you don't deal with your essential foundations of who you are, our anger, our gaiva, our taivas nashim, if we don't deal with the inclinations, we'll build a whole building, an amazing building, but it's built on not solid ground. And eventually the building starts to go awry. So it's great to go to the 20th floor. But if the foundations of the house aren't solid, so everything can go wrong. Now let's think about Korach and Meraglim, just quickly. Korach, who is Korach? Listen, I'll tell you what I think. If you can convince a Talmud Chacham of anything, you're pretty good. And if you can convince 250 Rosh Sanhedrin, heads of Sanhedrin, heads of rabbinical courts or something, you're really good. They don't fall for just anything. So Korach must have been an amazing person. In fact, we know that the Remez brought from Kadmonim, Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach, is the end of the letters of Tzadik. What's the last letter of Tzadik? What's the last letter? Kuf. Katamar, last letter is Reish, last letter of Yifrach. Ches. That's a remez to Korach. Tzadik, who was Korach? Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach. The Meraglim, right? Everybody knows the Meraglim and the listing of the Meraglim. The Aruch Chaim told us, and what list would the Meraglim listed right at the way at the beginning of the parsha? First of all, they're called Anashim. Anashim in Chazal always means a Lashon Chashivas, of important person. They were Nesiim. They were heads of the Jewish state in the time of Dor Dea, the nation of understanding, nation of knowledge during the Midbar. They're amazing people. In fact, four of them were even bigger than Yeshua. The one who will be the eventual Mamshich Darko. The one who will continue the ways of Moshe. How do I know that? Because in the listing, Yeshua is listed fifth. And Kalev is listed third. Right? That means three of them were ahead of Yeshua. Who says there's a relevance to that? Baruch Chaim says, in fact, that the way they were listed was listed in their chashivas, in their importance. So both sides. The last two parshas we've been dealing with, Gedolei Olam. Bigger people than anyone you've ever seen. And look what they did. Korach brought utter destruction to himself, his family, hundreds of people. The Meraglim tore asunder the Jewish people, and we spent 40 long years in the desert, and the whole generation was wiped out. How did such great people fall so far? So I'll read a familiar just for a moment. Mesilas Yesharim. Yerov ben Nevat, right? That king. That evil king, God came to him and offered him to go to Gan Eden. Tavso HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bindo. He says, Chazor B'cha, do tshuva. All you have to do, you're Rav Ben Avad, is tshuva. And you know what? I'll walk in Gan Eden. But you're going to have a great partner. You're going to go with Ben Isha. You and David are going to go in Gan Eden together with me. What would you say to such a thing? Let's go. Amazing. What an opportunity. Whole life of sin? Amaro, mi bro, she asked the question. Who's in front, though? Mir David. Let's establish that first. Who's in front? Amaro, Ben Yishai Barosh. No, David's first. Listen, David is David. So he says, no, Yahi Lobin, I don't want. I can't do that. You can't do that? Eternal damnation to yourself forever because of what? Because you have to watch David being in front of you? Anilo. Anilo Acho. Mi Garam LeKorach. Who was Garam to Korach? Shiavid Huvachodasimo Emnei HaKavid because of honor. Mi Garam Lefidas Chachamenu El Meraglim. Shiotzi Di Belarot. What was the motor? What was pushing the Meraglim? The Garam of Misalahem. You know what the Meraglim said? Listen, right now, we're in the Midbar. We're in a safe position. We know where we are. We're in the Nesiim. I'm in control. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. We're going to go into the Holy Land. It's going to be a new Seder, a new president, a new thing. Who knows where we're going to be? And because of that, Garmo Misalem L'chol Daram. Mi'irasim pen yimad kvodim miknis zaretz. Lo yuhim Nesiim Yisrael. V'yamdu achem b'mkamam. And Shaul, one of the most tragic people in all of Tanakh. What started him being so upset about with David? COVID. Because he heard people sing. They were singing how great Shaul was. Shaul was killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000. What? David's getting more COVID than me? David's getting more honor than me? That I can't handle. Also, I don't want to focus on COVID per se, but Midas in general. Is that, Masha, we have to understand. And we can get involved in Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem and Kiruv and saving the world and learning and bad things for sure, and we could ignore the basis of our religious life, which has to be our midos. That's what we see. And we can have a motor inside of us with all the amazing things we're doing, but we have a motor, an Achilles heel in us, which will come back to haunt us and will make one day our house, like Sasson's house, not straight. And midos need a lot of work. I want to show you how deep they are for a moment. From the Altiv Slobodka. Altiv Slobodka, Nassim Tzvi Finkel, the original Nassim Tzvi Finkel, of course, understood people in an incredible way. So he said there were people that sometimes others would look at as being humble. And he said he's not humble, but he has a low self-image because he's a Baal Gaiva. Not humble, right? And there are those that others would say he was a Baal Gaiva, right? He was prideful and haughty. And he said no. He said really it's because he's a Shuffle. And there are those that people said he's an auction. What's an auction? Stubborn. He's a stubborn guy. The Salta said he's not stubborn. He has strong days. He's a strongly opinioned person. He thinks. That's not akshanas. If you know you're right, that's not akshanas. That's not being stubborn. And there are those that people said he always looks at things the same way. And now, in a good way, you know, he knows what he's doing. Alta said, no, really, he's an action. He's stubborn. And there are those that people, listen to this one. People said he's Zaris. He moves quickly. He's a fast-moving person with a good midah. And he said, no, the Alta said, he's not so quick. You know what it is? He's an Atzlan. He's lazy. He wants to get rid of the job, right? Take out garbage for your mother. You run it out to the... I'm not a Zaris. You run the garbage out, throw it as soon as you can, just so you don't have to listen to your mother anymore. The Yesh. And there's someone who works slowly, right? And they say, oh, if he works slowly, he must be an Atzlan. God says, no, he's a Shachtan. He's a Masmid. Because he knows you have to work slowly. So Rabbo say, Mani may be Mizeh. To understand ourselves and to know our me, this is no easy business, right? You see a person, a great person, that other great people were looking at, and he was turning it over the whole time. And we will look at ourselves very often the wrong way. So, in an Eishet Torah debut, it's not a world debut, but it's an Eishet Torah debut. I want to teach a beginning. What do we need, my friends? Against the rain, R-E-I-G-N. And against the rain, R-A-I-N, of negative me, this. You know what we need? You need a hood, right? You need a hood. What do I mean? First, we'll go through that in a second. You need to make a decision. Do we make a decision that we're going to work on our midas? Is that part of your religious life or not? Is that part of what you're doing? Is that part of you? That's a decision. Next thing you need, we don't need to have time to go into so much, is you need Eisek HaTorah. You have to be involved in learning. You have to be involved in learning. Someone who's not involved in learning has no chance. Torah repairs our heart. It repairs our mind. It teaches how to analyze things. And when we analyze outside things correctly, we can analyze ourselves correctly. It gives us gedarim. It tells us when to use which midah, when to use another midah. What one man's mercy is another man's achzaris, another man's cruelty. How do we know how to use our midahs? So without Eisek HaTorah, without involvement in Torah, we have no chance. Okay, so we got to make a decision. We got to be involved in learning. You know what else you need? You need outside input. Rashid Zatzal used to talk about this. Ask your friends what they think about you sometime. You'll be surprised. What do I have to work on? You know? Get some outside input sometimes. You don't have to ask your rabbi. Ask a friend. Turn to a friend. Give me three things. Ask three friends. Give me three things you think I need to work on. Because we're not objective when it comes to ourselves. So we need outside input. We need another thing. We need to overcome. We need to overcome two things. Two things which I believe are two of the straightest things which stop us from working on ourselves. One is the sense that I'm okay. We all walk around, understandably. Listen, brass tacks, when the chips are down, the starting point of conversation, I'm okay. Now, after that, we can talk. We're both saying we're not okay. The other gangsters, I read a gangster wrote a letter one time. As the FBI was shooting him dead, he's writing, I'm a kind soul, good to my mother. People didn't appreciate me, didn't understand me. You're a murderer. I'm a kind soul. People do averus chamuras, terrible sins, and they can turn, look at you in the face and rationalize and think that they're tzaddikim. Chapping malachim, osa mais, the chazal say, you osa mais zimri, you do an action like zimri, and you want schar like Pinchas. Right? So we have to get, but we're okay in a different way. Hashem loves us, etc. We have a neshama, but rabosa, in our midas, we have to get past that. I'm not okay. I have a big toyot. I have problems. Okay? On the other thing we have to overcome, Rabosai, is the sense of scared. A lot of people are scared to look at themselves. We're fearful to look into ourselves. We're fearful to know who we really are, what we're really made of, right? This needs a lot more work, but we're fearful. I don't want to know that about myself. So it's like a steer. On the one hand, I'm okay, but on the other hand, I'm fearful, right? Don't be fearful. It's a lot of fun. It's more interesting than knowing what's going on in the American election. Come on, a nut and a late, come on. Why is that so interesting? You're more interesting. It's fun. It's interesting. Get a little objectivity. Treat yourself like a case study. Rulba writes that a person, when someone else would speak about your midas, you should be able to listen to them and say, you know what? He's this. Right. He's that. Right. That. No, he's a little too tough on that one. He's a this. He's being a little too generous, right? We should have the objectivity to be able to look at ourselves and know ourselves. What's the wrong? And I was mechadish a new sentence. If you run away from yourself, you run away from God. No one wants to run away from God. I'm a religious person. Who made you who you are? Lech lo mishasasascha. Who made you the way you are? Who gave you the nisyonis? Who gave you a difficult mother? Who gave you a controlling father? Who made this? Who made you? The Rono Shalom. But you don't want to deal with yourself. If you don't want to look at yourself, you're looking away from God. If you run away from yourself, you're running away from Him. Because He's the one who gave you your life circumstances. And He's the one who turned you into who you are. What are you scared of? Don't be scared. And finally, of course, we need Hadracha. You need Hadracha. You need guidance. Right? Besides outside input. Your friends aren't experts, but they might know things about you. But you need Hadracha. Rabosai. So what do we say you need? Against the rain, R-E-I-G-N. And against the rain, R-A-I-N, of bad midos, we need a hood. A hood! Esek HaTorah. A is Esek HaTorah, if I'm going to learn. H? Hadracha. O? Outside input. O? Overcome. Being scared and saying I'm okay. D? You got to make the decision. Okay? It's not in order, but it's all there. So our boss, against the rain, R-E-I-G-N. Of bad midas against the rain, R-A-I-N, of bad midas, we need a hood. Rabosai. And that, I think, is a beginning place. That's not the whole work. That's a beginning place. We've got to make a decision. Rabotai, our midas will not go away from us. We are who we are, right? We got to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, it's not going to happen. So, Rabosai, what an amazing thing it would be if collectively we can make a decision that we will be people who our whole lives, as difficult as it might be, as much as we want to be past it already, we will, our whole lives, work on our midos and become through that true B'nai Torah and not Chas V'Shalom the next Korach.